Please do be seated and open your Bibles at page 606. 606, and Jill's going to come and read the first 18 verses of Psalm 104. We're going to be working through Psalm 104 this morning. I just want you, after this reading, I'm going to ask you, what is it that God has made that the psalmist talks about in these verses? So just try and spot all the things that the psalmist mentions that God has made. Jill.
So that's page 606, Psalm 104, and the first 18 verses. Praise the Lord, my soul. Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. The Lord wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent and lays the beams of his upper chambers on their waters. He makes the clouds his chariot and rides on the wings of the wind. He makes winds his messengers, flames of fire his servants. He set the earth on its foundations. It can never be moved. You covered it with the watery depths, as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. But at your rebuke, the waters fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took to flight. They flowed over the mountains. They went down into the valleys to the place you assigned for them. You set a boundary they cannot cross. Never again will they cover the earth. He makes springs pour water into the ravines. It flows between the mountains. They give water to all the beasts of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. The birds of the sky nest by the waters. They sing among the branches. He waters the mountains from his upper chambers. The land is satisfied by the fruit of his work. He makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for people to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth, wine that gladdens human hearts, oil to make their faces shine, and bread that sustains their hearts. The trees of the Lord are well watered, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. There the birds make their nests. The stork has its home in the junipers. The high mountains belong to the wild goats. The crags are a refuge for the hiracs. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Where are you going? Great. Okay. In those first two verses, what does the psalmist have in mind about what God has made? Anybody spot anything that the psalmist's talking about there? Yes, he is. He's sovereign over everything, isn't he? So that runs right through the psalm. He's in control of everything. What's he made? Joel? Pardon? Bread. We'll come to bread in a bit, but bread is in the reading. You were listening very carefully, weren't you? Well done. So hold that thought, bread. What about in those earlier verses? What's in the psalmist's sights in those verses 2 to 4? Were you not listening? If you weren't listening and you didn't read it, you can't find the answer by looking at me. Okay? What's he talking about? The sky. The things that are high up. The heavens and the light, the sun in the heavens. He stretches out the heavens like a tent. And then the clouds and the wind, all the stuff that's up high and in the sky. So what the psalm is going to teach us as we go through is that God made everything. But more than that, the psalm is going to teach us that he keeps it going. that it doesn't keep going by itself, but that God sustains it. God made everything and it keeps it going. And in those first four verses, he talks about the skies and the heavens and the clouds. And you could extrapolate, you know, the heavens include the stars and the planets. If you like pictures, it's this sort of thing. That's not actually a photograph, the one of the planets. But there we've got the clouds and the sky taken from high up in an aeroplane and the whole solar system and beyond to the galaxies. God made all of that and he keeps it going. Okay, what about the next little section, verses 5 to 9? What's he talking about there? Yeah, a bit lower down. The mountains and the land and how all the lakes are formed within those big land masses. The dry ground, but also the seas, the lakes, and the water. So that's what he's talking about in that next little section. Here's a picture. I don't know where this is, but I'd love to go there. That just looks astonishing. So big mountains and lakes, and you can imagine the rivers running down. And the psalmist says that God has assigned their place. He has created all those things, and he keeps them going. Okay, last little section for this first bit. Verses 10 to 18. Now, Joel, what did you hear in that little section? Can you remember? What did you tell me just before? Bread. Well done. And bread is an example of food, isn't it? So what happens in this section is that God so orders the water that it waters the land and the food grows and the trees grow. But it's all organized between the big mountains. And so all in one go, the psalmist celebrates that God doesn't only provide the food, but he also provides homes for all his creatures, the birds in the trees and the goats in the rocks. So I got the pictures a bit confused here. We've got water, food, trees, rocks, and that's food and home for animals and birds. So here are some wildebeest eating some grass. And then for some reason I've got birds nesting in rocks, which is a place where they live. But we often think about trees, as the psalmist does. So in God's ordering of everything, there is food and there is home for all of the animals. Now, as a mark of our thanks to God, because we benefit from all this, don't we? Hands up if you have had breakfast. Okay. See, most of us have had breakfast, or at least what we wanted for breakfast. And hands up if you had a roof over your head. You were sheltered in some way last night while you were sleeping. You see. So we are the people who have much. We're the people who have much. And we have much because God has ordered things that way. We have our bread to eat and our homes to live in. And a part of our harvest celebration is that we need to remember that and we need to give thanks to God for that. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have made everything and that you provide through your creation. We thank you for how much we have by way of food and shelter. And thank you that we can offer these gifts to help others who have less than we do. Amen. Good. Right, back to Psalm 104. And Rick is going to come and read the next little section.
He made the moon to mark the seasons, and the sun knows when to go down. You bring darkness, it becomes night, and all the beasts of the forest prowl. The lions roar for their prey, and they seek their food from God. The sun rises, and they steal away. They return and lie down in their dens. Then people go out to their work, to their labor until evening. How many are your works, Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things both large and small. There the ships go to and fro, and Leviathan, which you formed to frolic there. All creatures look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send your spirits, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I should have told you to keep trying to answer that same question. So in those verses 19 to 23, where does the psalmist's mind turn now? What is it that God has created, built into the creation for us? The seasons, very good. So, and what else? As well as the seasons, day and night. And that's for animals and people. Lots of animals prefer to be out at night. You'll notice that if you drive down country lanes in the dark. Lots of animals like to be out at night. And generally speaking, we like to do our work during the day. So those seasons, that day and night, are for animals and for people. It's all been designed by God for us. Who thinks naming? If you think naming the seasons is quite a difficult question, but you can do it. Anybody want to tell me what the seasons are? Who knows what the seasons are? Do you? Go on, Thea. Well done. And there's a picture of the four different seasons for you. Okay, next section, verses 24 to 26. What's in the psalmist's mind there? It's cold and wet. Sea. And what about the sea? Is that the right way? Yeah, every sea creature. There you go, there's a selection of sea creatures there. You probably can't see them very well. There are some really weird sea creatures when you get down there. But God has created every single one of them, the psalmist celebrates. And then finally, from the bit that Rick read, verses 27 to 30. Where does the psalmist's mind turn again? It seems. What's on offer for all the creatures? Food. God has created food. So he creates all the creatures and the food for them. They look to him for food. It's not always prepared quite as nicely as that is, but all kinds of food to eat. Anybody noticed anything about those six sections that we've just worked through? Some people who know their Bible really well, or at least they've tried to start reading the Bible at the beginning loads of times, and then they always fail, so they go back to the beginning and they read it again, and there are six sections to the psalm. Enough of a clue? Okay. If you read Genesis chapter 1, you'll see that the psalmist is working through the days of creation. The heavens, and then the waters and the dry ground, and then, what was the next one? The plants for the food for the animals and homes to live. and then the seasons, night and day, and then the sea creatures, and then all the creatures and the whole creation on the sixth day made so that the creatures could eat and live on the earth. So the psalmist's reflecting on Genesis chapter 1. But look what he says in verse 30. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. You see, that's why the psalmist understands, yes, God made everything. Here it all is. God made everything, and he keeps it going. He keeps it going by his spirit, which is the spirit of his Son who speaks the words of the Father. We're told in the New Testament that the Son sustains all things by his powerful word. The word which is carried by the Spirit of God. And so, yes, God the Father, the Word, and the Spirit present in Genesis 1 and continue to sustain the world in which we live. So there it is. There is the creation. Those full 6 days celebrated by the psalmist. God made it and he keeps it going. That means that we are dependent on him. All that doesn't just happen, according to the psalmist. God, by his spirit, renews the face of the ground. Nothing keeps going on its own, not even you and me. But Father, Son, and Holy Spirit sustain daily, moment by moment, the creation that was made. And back to the psalm and the final 5 verses. Page 607. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. But may sinners vanish from the earth, and the wicked be no more. Praise the Lord, my soul. Praise the Lord. So what is it about this God? The God who's made all this and kept it going. What does the psalmist tell us about him? There are two things. One's in verse 1 and one's in verse 24. Anybody find those things about God tucked away in this psalm? What do we know about God because he's done all this? Yes. He's what?
He did.
He did it, which means that tells you something about God, doesn't it? It tells you how powerful he must be if by speaking he is able to create all these things. And the psalmist says in the first verse, doesn't he, you are very great. Well, that's true, isn't it? God is very great if he's able to do this. He's certainly greater than we are and greater than anything else in the creation because he made it. Okay, what are we told in verse 24? Begins with what and ends in eyes. Yes, excellent. Well done. He's wise. The psalmist says, as the psalmist sings this song, he knows that for this God to do this, he must be a very great God and very wise. That means that he's able to do whatever he wants, and he knows exactly what he's doing. He's able to do whatever he wants, and he knows exactly what he's doing. Now, who's missing from this great creation? Who's not there yet? Yeah? Yes, Adam and Eve, people. We just sang about don't forget people, whether hairy or bald, but don't forget people. And the psalmist has, so far we haven't seen them, but there are two things in the psalm that the psalmist wants people to do. Two things that we see people doing in the psalm, or that they're encouraged to do. What was that, Dean? Praise. Well done. The first thing is to praise. And so the psalmist starts, doesn't he? He's talking to himself. See, talking to yourself is not always madness. He says, praise the Lord, my soul. He says to himself, make sure that you praise this God. To say thank you to him. To say yes to him. So this is the best I could do. There is somebody saying yes to God. That's what the psalmist says. The psalmist said you must praise, you must remember God, you must say yes to him, you must be thankful to him, because he is great and wise and has made this creation for you. What's the other thing that people do in this psalm? It's mentioned twice, I think. Well, there is meditation. I'm putting meditation in that. So our thoughts are pleasing to God as we remember him and we give thanks for his generosity. I think it's hidden in verse 20. Oh, I gave you the wrong verse before, did I? Anyway, it's hidden in verse 23 and in verse 14. What else is a human person supposed to do in this universe? Sorry, Ollie? We're supposed to work. See that? So the land is there, and plants for people to cultivate, and then people go out to their work and to their labour in verse 23. And what the Bible means by work is something that's useful to other people and useful and productive in what it achieves. Useful and productive. That's what Adam and Eve were charged to do, or Adam at least, before Eve was formed in the garden. To be useful and productive in this world. To see what good can be done and how a neighbour can be helped. See, the work of cultivating plants is literally life-giving work. Imagine if you hadn't had any food for breakfast. Somebody's worked life-giving work, useful and productive activity. So hands up if you're at school. Okay, that is useful and productive work because you're being taught how to live and do things which will be useful and productive for the rest of your lives. Hands up if you're in an office. Okay. Now, you are there to be useful and productive, not just in the work that you're doing, but also in relationships with all the people with whom you work. And the psalmist says, God is great and wise, and he's made the world this way, and therefore we should be saying alleluia, remembering him and giving thanks to him, and working and being useful people in his world for the sake of others. But there's a verse in the psalm that sticks out like a sore thumb, isn't there? Right at the end, verse 35. Had this great song of praise. And then suddenly you have to read this. But may sinners vanish from the earth and the wicked be no more. See, that's life as God created it. Thanking God for his generosity. Working productively in the world with and for one another under our glorious King on the throne. But that's not always how we do it, is it? So hands up if you've ever forgotten to be thankful to God, or just that you're not thankful all the time. We just forget, don't we? He just drifts to the back of our minds, perhaps. And we have to tell ourselves, like the psalmist, no, praise the Lord, O my soul. Hands up if you are always and only generous. You're in luck, Alicia. We're not, are we? Sometimes we keep and we're selfish and we don't want to share and we snatch things off one another. And we're not that generous, productive, useful person for others in the world. We're just not like that. So actually, often, the picture's a bit more like this. In the middle of God's great creation, there are lots of people who are just, and we're those, who are forgetting him. We're forgetting his greatness and his wisdom, and we're not being productive, generous, and life-giving in the work and things that we do. That's why we sang about Jesus. Because Jesus showed us perfectly what it means to come and live in the creation. He came from heaven and came and lived amongst us like we are. And he showed us exactly what it means to remember God, exactly what it means to thank God, and to remember God all the time, and to love God. He showed us exactly what that looks like, and he showed us exactly what it means to work usefully and productively for the sake of others. Indeed, to work for the life of others. Jesus' great act of useful work was when he laid down his life on the cross. He came into God's creation and worked productively to give life. Which means that whenever we live like this, which we all do, because Jesus came and died, we're forgiven. And we can be renewed to live as we should. I want to take you back to that verse 30. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. Just as God renews the creation daily, for those who trust in his Son, his Spirit comes and renews us, so that daily we might praise God, remember him, be thankful to him, and daily we might be strengthened to be useful and productive for the sake of other people. That will mean doing all the things that we've already talked about at school and in the office and all that sort of thing. It'll also mean pointing people who have that cross look about them, pointing them to the Son who died for them. Because sinners are out of place in that creation. We're out of place when we forget God. We don't belong. It's like, why are we living like that? Of course we should be living like that. And the psalmist wants this to go on forever. Verse 31, may the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. For when he sees us like that, the Lord himself rejoices in the whole of creation. So, what are you going to do tomorrow to make sure that you remember and give thanks to God? You might want to think of yourself as an individual. You could think of yourself as a family. What are you going to do as a family tomorrow to make sure that you praise and give thanks to this God? You're living in his world. What are you going to do? And if you're at school tomorrow, or whoever you're working with, or whether you're working hard at home, whoever you bump into tomorrow, how are you going to make sure that you're a useful and productive worker for the sake of other people tomorrow? And if you find yourself not doing that tomorrow at any point, remember the Lord Jesus and his cross, pray for his forgiveness, and enjoy being renewed by his Holy Spirit. So, you as an individual, as a family, in your workplace or at school, what are you going to do tomorrow? And then the next day, and the day after that, and each day forever. That's the life we're called to in this creation. We're going to pray, and then we're going to sing. And we're going to pray a prayer of confession. Because we don't always live like that, but our Lord Jesus has died for our forgiveness so that we can start afresh. And then we're going to sing a song which expresses exactly this thankfulness. But in the last verse it says, "For every day I have on earth is given by the King. So I will give my life, my all, to love and follow him." So let's pray and then sing together. We say together, Almighty God and Father, for love of you, I desire to hate and forsake all sins by which I have ever displeased you. Wash away all my guilt and cleanse me from my sin through your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for me. And I resolve by the help of your grace to commit them no more and to avoid all opportunities of sin. Help me to do this through the power of your Holy Spirit in me. Amen. Almighty God, you sent your Son Jesus Christ into the world to save sinners. Give us full assurance of the pardon and peace we have in him, now and forever. Amen.